It's Cap and Haw.
I prefer he wouldn't. I think just by
pitching the All-Star game.
Yeah. Just I think just for him, the way
you're also representative.
He is. But I also want him to pitch for us the rest of the year too. He would be our only representative there too.
You know, that's a decision that he's gonna make. I'm leaving that up to him. You know, I don't make those kind of calls. I've loved pitching in the past, and I would like to, but, you know, like you said, at the same time, you know, I want to put this team first before any other team, and, you know, whatever decision they come up with, you know, we're going to go forward with that, and I'm still going to enjoy it. It's still going to be a great time. It's still going to be fun.
That's the voice of Chris Sale talking about the All-Star game tomorrow night in Cincinnati.
Was Sully, was he harassing Robin Ventura?
We go back over 20 years, so I feel like I'm grandfathered in with the harassment. Even if he's
a
manager now, I harassed him as a player, I'm going to still harass him as a manager.
But that was like legit harassment. What do you mean? It's the All-Star game. Get him in there.
Well, he could see me shaking my head. I wasn't asking questions, and I was just like, really? You're not going to let Chris Sale pitch one inning? And, you know, it's easy for you to say. I mean, of course it's easy for me to say, but he's the only guy going for your team. Don't you want to showcase him?
That's Paul Sullivan from the Chicago Tribune. Mark Carman in for the Catman. Cap and Haw. Cap and Haw brought to you by Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. They won the largest verdict for a brain injury in Illinois history, the largest verdict for a back injury in Illinois history, and the largest verdict for a neck injury in Illinois history. That's the triple crown of lawyering. Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates, these guys win. Okay, so you've already sort of, by your badgering of Robin, tipped your hand. I believe like you believe, or you believe like I believe. We both believe. It's an All-Star game.
Why have it if
Why
you're not
going
to play in it?
And do you understand the balancing act that managers
I do.
Try to you know, serve when they're before they send their players off? I mean, I don't think that Ned Yost would pitch a guy to gain an advantage in an upcoming series. Do you?
No, and there's like 14 pitchers on the team now, so it's not like anyone's going to do more than one inning if they don't need to. And I understand Chris Sale. I mean, he is your franchise right there. If he gets hurt, it's not good. But I don't see how one inning is going to hurt him. He's like in such a hot streak, and everyone in baseball is talking about him. I was talking to Pedro Martinez about him last week. He said he's better than me. People want to see this guy, and it's good for the Sox organization to showcase him. And I think as nice as Chris was being about it, I think he was like,
he's a competitor.
Wow. You're not going to let me pitch the All-Star
game. There's a mystique to Chris Sale, I think, because of his delivery, because of the comparisons to Randy Johnson, whatever. But there's sort of this aura around people wanting to just see what he's got and what that's all about.
Yeah.
And to deprive baseball fans of seeing that on its largest showcase of the year, I think would be bad for the game. Good for the Sox, maybe. I understand it.
So we're basically what we're doing right now is we're saying that Ventura is being selfish, right? I mean,
manager is.
Right, he's not alone. Okay, and that's fair.
I'm not sure if it was his call, but he was the one giving it to us.
He hasn't graduated to that point
yet. Yeah, I don't know if he's graduated to that point.
The other side of it, too, is that I think Chris Sale, he doesn't want to be looked at as, you know, this soft thing that's going to break. Are you kidding? I'm out here every day throwing 110 to 120 pitches. You really worried about me throwing anything?
And there's other guys that, you know, I mean, Scherzer, they moved him to Sunday, and he's not pitching. I mean, it does happen, and if you're hurt, I understand that. But, you know, if you're available and you can pitch one inning, I don't – even one batter. I mean, it's the All-Star game. If pitchers can't pitch in it, then don't even have it.
We talked a lot about Jeff Samardzija, and the next 13 days could be his last 2 weeks with the White Sox. I don't think that the Sox go into this All-Star break feeling, you know – yeah, they've improved. Yes, they have, you know, turned the corner a little bit, and they've gotten better. But to conclude that they are now going to be, you know, they aren't going to be sellers, I think it's a little early for that. I think the deadline is their friend. And I think as you get closer to the deadline, more teams could emerge, and they might not be able to get much for him. But number one is
that you could still get someone. I mean,
you're going to get somebody. Yeah. And if don't you have to balance, you know, the future? Finally, if you're a White Sox, don't you have to think about rebuilding sort of the Cubs way at some point if you're not realistically going to be in it? This next series against the Royals could tell you a lot.
Well, yeah, they get four with the Royals, and then they got the Cardinals after that. So you're playing the two best teams in baseball, at least record-wise at this point. So, yeah, I mean, that'll be a litmus test for this team. They have been playing well. They're still not hitting, though. It's not like, you know, they're busting out. And same with the Cubs. Neither team is hitting that well. So, yeah, I mean, I think they'll go to the end and make a decision. And I'd like to see him keep Samardzija if, you know, if they're, like, within a few games of the wild card. Because, you know, if they are within a few games and they trade him, it's going to bring back the whole white flag fiasco of, was that, 97?
Yep.
When they were only 3.5 behind Cleveland and they got rid of a bunch of pitchers. So, I don't know. It's a tough call for Rick and Kenny, whoever's making it, hopefully both of them. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes, but you could argue both ways, really.
Speaking of helping that offense on the north side, it seems like Joe Maddon would like to see a Kyle Schwarber up, especially if Montero is dealing with a thumb that's going to keep him out for an extended period. Do you think there's an appetite to allow Maddon to have his Kyle Schwarber?
I don't. I really don't. I mentioned it in a blog this morning that I think they should consider it, especially if it's not a, you know, a serious long-term injury, if it's just for a week or so till Montero gets better. At least have Schwarber and Ross maybe, you know, share the role, because we can see that Schwarber can hit, and we don't know if he can catch, but if he's catching in AAA, there is some trust in him, and, you know,
they make it sound like rocket science, and I respect the nuances that go into being a major league catcher.
Thank you for saying
but
this.
But I do wonder, every time we hear about the deficiencies in Kyle Schwarber's game, he is starting as a catcher every day at Iowa, right?
Not every day, but he's had 15 starts.
He's had
there.
Enough experience.
More than DHing.
To say that, okay, when this guy comes up, you're not automatically going to be, you know, having passed balls every three innings and having pitch call it from the bench.
He threw out Brian Buxton. The guy's one of the fastest players in the game. Man,
I don't know if that's a valid enough of an excuse, and I know
he
that
threw
that
out
will...
a kid yesterday too. A real fast kid. I can't think of the kid's name, but
when you're scoring like a soccer team, don't you need some sort of offensive infusion that this guy offers? I think it would be too tempting for me to look at that. You know, I like the idea of the Cubs staying intact. This is a team that, if they play this level of baseball the rest of the way, they're going to be right around the 88, 89 victories.
So you wouldn't go for a big pitcher at the deadline?
I would go for a creative deal at the deadline. I would maybe protect my resources. I would try to protect what I've built to this point.
Would you trade a Javi? I mean, everyone seems to think, okay,
Javi
we're not going to trade
my guy.
Schwarber.
If I'm Theo, if I'm Jed,
you'd trade Javi?
I look at it almost like territorial, and I think that they might look at it this way. Javi Baez is a great prospect, but we didn't draft him.
Yeah.
He's not our guy.
Yeah.
There's some flaws in his swing and things that maybe he'd be the one I'd be most likely to deal.
Yeah.
Schwarber, no way. Yeah. I've come around on this. I don't know that I would trade Schwarber in any deal that, I mean, obviously you never say never.
Yeah.
But he would not be at the top of my list.
No, I wouldn't trade Schwarber. I would trade Starlin, but that's a whole nother argument that we'd go through there.
Right.
But, I was going to bring that up. That'd be my number one.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, he's having a tough time right now.
21 out of
20. Had a bad weekend.
21 out of 23 shortstops on base, OBP, .602. I mean,
look at you, Mr. Seaman.
I think he and Alexei were the bottom two in shortstop war last I saw. So
I just don't see a change. And the guy hits a 350-foot foul ball that goes an inch foul, and he's standing at home plate.
Yeah, I don't know how you can say it's not changing. I mean, he is streaky, and he's a guy that, okay, August – he could go on a streak that you look back and you think, boy, we're glad we kept him. I think that he can have stretches like that because – and why did I say that? Because I've seen him before.
I'm more talking about just the mental aspect of his game.
It's always going to be a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's
– why should it be? I mean, it's like 5 years in now. They keep talking how young he is, but I mean
– it's a Jay Cutler issue. You know, is a guy capable of changing once he sort of established his reputation as a professional athlete?
Yeah,
I don't know that he can probably change. Can he improve? That's what you hope that the impact coaching has on him.
Isn't he supposed to be an offensive shortstop? I mean, the guy.
That was Dale's big argument that, you know, he's not a home run hitter. He's not a great fielder. He's a singles hitter. If he's hitting 300, okay. But he's not hitting 300 for the last few years. He's hitting 260-ish, 270. So, you know, is he okay? Yeah, but is he A great shortstop? No.
Okay, so that debate can go on and on, but I want to ask you this because we teased it.
And it will as soon as Cap gets back.
Exactly. I know. He's trying to debate the Pope on Starlin Castro right now. He's trying to find the Pope so he can get a hat signed and debate the Starlin Castro thing. So the rest of the way, Cubs go in, Sox go in. They got something to play for. Which rotation do you trust more? Sale, Samardzija, Quintana, and Rodon. And then, obviously, John Danks is the fifth guy. Or Lester, Arrieta, Hamill, and Hendricks with, you know, your fifth guy sort of a floating. But you have Wada. But yeah, of those big four, which rotation gives you the most confidence?
I'd have to go with the Sox right now just because, you know, Sale is by far and away, I think, the best pitcher. Arrieta is probably second. Lester, you know, he's been so inconsistent. He looks great. He looks terrible. Samardzija looks like he's back on track. And Rodon, you know, he's got some command issues, and he throws a lot of pitches early on. He's having a hard time getting through six innings, but I see the promise in him, and boy, he's going to really be good. So I'd have to go with the Sox.
Hendricks, you
I like Hendricks too. He's got over
here?
That. You know, he had a bad start to the season in the last 3-4 starts. I think he's been pretty awesome. So yeah, he's right up there. They're both, I think, the top four on both teams are pretty decent.
Guy that you referenced in one of your pieces today, Chris Bosio, mm-hmm. he loves Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah,
and this guy, dart it down, dart it in,
yeah,
pitch it up, pitch it down.
Yeah,
Dartmouth guy.
Hawk called him a right-handed Mark Burley over the weekend. That's as high of a praise as you can probably get in Chicago.
And he's especially good with, you know, there's so many power pitchers nowadays. It just seems like everyone's a power pitcher, and he kind of stands out as like old school finesse guy, and I like that. And we were talking about Bosio. You know, you hear so much about Cooper and what a great pitching coach he is, but Bosio, man, he might be one of the best in the game. You look at all the guys that he's, you know, projects that he's turned into other players, Arrieta, you know, Feldman when he was here, even Paul Mahalam. He really doesn't get enough credit for the job he's done.
Last thing before we let you go, the Sox have their closer issues solved. David Robertson's had a pretty solid first half. Well, the Cubs, Jason Mott has been really terrific,
mm-hmm.
crafty, but Joe Maddon still does not want to anoint one guy as a closer. You've got Soriano kind of on the way.
Yeah, he worries me.
What do you think the Cubs ultimately will do at that position? Will they change from Mott, or will they kind of stay the course?
No, I think they'll do what they've been doing. It's been working so far, except when he tried Pedro the other night against the Cardinals. I don't want to see Pedro against the Cardinals anymore if you're a Cub fan. But no, Mott's been doing well. I do worry that Soriano's going to come in here and think he's the closer, and that could cause a little bit of friction.
You wonder that. He didn't sign a $4 million contract to not be the closer.
Yeah, and he's got some closer incentives, or games finished incentives at least. So he worries me a little bit. But I was talking to Todd Hollingsworth the other day, and, you know, Joe Maddon knows Soriano. Soriano's pitched for Maddon before, so maybe he understands what his role is going to be under Maddon, and that, you know, alleviates some of the worries.
And you don't really worry about a team's chemistry issues when you have a manager who's Joe Maddon.
Yeah. No, he's been solid. Everything
manager
that's
been
advertised.
First half manager of the year?
Could be. I mean, A.J. Hinch in Houston did a great
job. That's
too,
a good point.
But they've been tanking lately.
You sort of hinted that Robin could be up for manager of the year.
I was just
that was tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah,
okay.
That was for all the Sox fans, all the haters
That was
there.
Good. That
and
was
Cap,
good.
Too.
And Cap.
But he was out of town. So.
But he read it anyway.
Yeah.
You know he read it. You know he read it
on a gondola. He's on a gondola reading.
Can you believe Sully wrote this? Look
ridiculous!
At, this.
At Mindy J. Cap.
Hey, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Paul Sullivan, Chicago Tribune baseball writer in studio. Cap and Haw, Mark Carmen in for the Cap Man. David Haw on CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
I know there's a lot of different takes on the Home Run Derby, and again, you've heard my comments, and of course you'd prefer guys innocent. In some ways not, but then for the betterment or the advertising of the gaming of young players like we do, that hopefully that a lot of young kids are going to glom onto and understand. I want to be like Chris Bryant, I want to be like Riz. So I like it from that part of it, and then they're going to be in center stage with this. So I've talked about the mind once stretched has a difficult time going back to its original form. This is a perfect example of that. So I'm hoping that This helps accelerate KB's thought process in particular.
I'm all for that. I'm for expanding thought processes. Now to Joe Maddon, Cubs manager.
Chris Bryan was quoted in today's paper saying he leaves the game and his head feels like it's going to explode. He's got to watch a movie and dial it down. And I don't know if that expanding thought process is coming anytime soon. Yeah. That guy's a rook.
Mark Carman in for the Catman, Cap and Haw, CSN Chicago, and WGNplus.com. Don't start worrying about Chris Bryan's mental approach to the game.
Oh, hold on. Okay.
I am not worried about Chris Bryant, period. Everybody wants to worry about stuff. I'm telling you, I'm relaxed. I'm just back from vacation. I'm not worried about Chris Sale blowing his arm out by throwing 25 pitches at the All-Star game. I'm not worried about Chris Bryant ruining his swing and stressing out over his first half.
Listen, I appreciate this new David Haw. I don't even know if it's new. Whatever. This relaxed paddleboarding, Cayman Island.
Don't make me laugh.
Rastafarian.
No, not Rastafarian.
Okay, well.
Come on.
Whatever. At least
whatever.
Visualizing it from all a right. distance, perhaps. I appreciate I can't find the quote right now as I'm just ripping through the Tribune. Yeah. But that's what he said. He said it. Flat out, my head feels like it's going to, I'll find it somewhere here.
He is in a position where there's a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah.
Maybe at times he feels it. He's 23. That's inevitable.
Yeah, and he's
He's also been a guy that everything was expected out of him this year, right? Everything. And what has he done?
Everything.
He's in the All-Star game.
He's done.
He's got 51 runs batted in. He has scored 47 times. He's flashed some speed. He's not flashed the leather. He still has an erratic arm. He's not going to please everybody's who wants him to play a flawless third base. That's just not going to happen. But there's very little to worry about when it comes to Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo, for that matter.
Let's say this. Let's just hypothetically say this for a second here. I love hypotheticals.
I'm not going to invent things to worry about just so we can fill time on this show.
I'm just giving a fun scenario. Javi Baez comes back from injury, right? He's crushing the baseball.
Crushing.
Okay? The Cubs are still struggling to score runs. Are you going to bring Javi Baez up and put him at third base and say, hey, there, Chris Bryant, you can do everything? Will you just slide on out to left field and hook us up with a little outfield action the rest of the way? You're not going to do that.
No.
Capathetical.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I'm not going to do that because I don't know that I'm just chomping at the bit to get Javi Baez in a Chicago Cub uniform this year. I think if there's one player that's going to accelerate his progress and his ascension, it would be a Kyle Schwarber.
Well, what?
The live left-handed bat.
I've already got Schwarber behind the plate, and he's crushing balls back there.
I don't think
you.
That that's fair to Miguel Montero. I think that if you're going to make any sort of conversion this year, it's
Schwarber to the outfield?
Trying Kyle Schwarber in left field and hiding him there at times, and then playing him behind the plate at times, and finding ways to use his bat.
I'm way more comfortable with the Schwarbernator.
Of course, that's not fair to Chris Coughlin, the Iron Man.
Iron Man Coughlin, 150 games in a row. I don't know how Joe
that
Maddon.
Snapped.
How does Joe Maddon not get Coughlin in the game yesterday to let him play left field in the bottom of the ninth? Or top of the ninth.
I don't think that Joe Maddon cares about the Iron Man streak, and I don't think he should.
Clearly he doesn't.
Again.
Clearly he doesn't. And
don't worry
but clearly
about that stuff.
He should. It's about the team, but it's also about the eye. And occasionally, throw a little coggy out
I don't
there.
Know what I'm going to write about the rest of the summer. I suddenly have I'm worry-free. I have no worries. I'm not worried about Chris Coughlin's Iron Man streak.
I want Schwarbeast behind the plate. I want Baez at third. I want Bryan in left, and I want 5 runs a night. I think in that scenario,
you
might score some. You might put up a couple numbers.
In all seriousness, why do you think the Cubs aren't thinking the same thing?
That I don't know that they're not.
Chris Bryan is a good enough athlete to adapt to any position he plays.
There's no question.
Even if you move him in August,
he's missed.
I think so.
I think he'd handle it.
And I think that when you look at his ability to adapt, it hasn't, I don't think it's going to bother him at the plate. I think he's one of those rare players. He's shown that he's a rare player. It's only a half season sample size. But the guy has done everything you've wanted him to do. Has he hit with as much power in terms of home runs as you thought? No. But I think he's a more complete player than maybe people expected. The defense has been as erratic as advertised. I did not expect to see Chris Bryant rounding second, going in for a triple yesterday.
Standing up
when they brought him up in April. That was the part of his game that surprised me. He's got some wheels.
He beat out a double play ball the other day.
Hustle.
Too.
He was respecting 90.
I think Len said, how many third basemen around baseball would have beaten that out? Probably none. That's why he could cover. He could handle.
He's lanky. He's lanky. He's speedy. He's an all-star. He's first of many tonight.
It's just the really, really elaborate delivery of the baseball across the diamond. One step, two step, long arm, and there's
most, not the perfect player.
Most times on the money, but that's a. That's
but
a
if step. Chris Bryant is this good and wants to play third base and is more comfortable there, doesn't that count for something?
It does. It does.
Especially when you have a manager who is as concerned about the approach, the state of mind, and the comfortability of his players as Joe Maddon is. I think that you have to take that into account. And yeah, I think that's also part of why if these guys want to be part of the Home Run Derby, God bless them. The Cubs give them their blessing because that's the kind of team they are. You don't suddenly start to, you know, crack down on, oh, you can't do this if you're a team that celebrates with a disco ball after victories. You just can't be that inconsistent with the approach.
No, I mean, Maddon was honest, said he doesn't want him participating, and then they got selected and they wanted to go. And Joe Maddon said, great, hope they win.
And he's going to watch. He's going to peek in, he said.
He's going to watch from Maddonville, wherever that is.
You think he's staying in town? You think he's going on vacation?
I think he's doing that RV thing somewhere.
Go sample his restaurant, Ava's, down in Tampa. Fine restaurant, by the way.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I ate there twice during the Stanley Cup final.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, why were you in Tampa? Oh, yeah, right.
Why was I in Tampa? You aren't a hockey guy, are you? I'm still – come on, man. That was a month ago tonight, game five. Patrick Sharp scores. How soon they forget.
I could still name at least
– the convention's Friday, Carp. Carp. Carm.
I think I could probably name at least seven Lightning still. I was up to about 13 that I could just rip off. Now I'm probably down to six or seven.
Oh, no. I think that you can't get much deeper than Bishop. Ben Bishop. That's
Bishop.
It.
Benny Bishop.
You and Cap. Ben Bishop. That's about it.
John Cooper, head coach, Tampa Bay Lightning.
That's why Cap kept the Lightning roster like right here during the entire Stanley Cup final so he could look down and get outraged about some guy he'd never heard about before.
Wasn't there a Johnson? Was there a Johnson?
There was a Tyler Johnson. Yes.
Him. Yeah, number nine.
Okay.
Had a rough series.
We're going to get to the phones. They finally are working again. 312-235-2525. Apologize for the technical problems if you're trying to get through. You got nothing but a busy signal the first hour and a half of the show. They're working now. Dave and Aurora, we'll get to you soon after the break. Carm is in for the Capman, David Haw on CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com. Cap and Haw.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
Came out a little flat the first two games of the series. You know, I just wanted to go out there and, you know, kind of set the tone early. You know, put up a bunch of zeros. We were able to score a couple there in the first inning, which is nice to get off to a quick start. And I was able to preserve the lead. Have a lot of quick innings, and you know, finish it out.
That was Jake Arrieta, Chicago Cubs pitcher, home run hitter, Mr. Everything, marathon man, sporting the guns yesterday after the game. Cap and Haw, Mark Carmen in for Dave Kaplan on CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com. Jake Arrieta is true or false, Carmen? Jake Arrieta is as valuable to the Cubs as Chris Sale is to the White Sox.
Wow. I don't know if I can go quite that far.
Why not? He's 6-0 after losses. I think that's the stat. 6-0 after losses. He's 10. He's got 10 wins going into the 10-5. Already matches season high for wins.
Are we factoring in finances or are we just talking about on the field? Because Chris Sale.
I'm saying that this season, when you look at where the teams are respectively, and I am not ignoring the history that Chris Sale has made because you can't. And it's phenomenal. It's awesome. It's all those words combined. It's must-see television every time he pitches. But it's still one start. And I just wonder if you look at what he has meant to the Sox, is any different than what Jake Arrieta has meant to the Cubs?
Probably not, no. I mean, Arrieta's ridiculous. He's got his whip is under one. Now, granted, it's .99, so we're right at one, but that's unbelievable.
You know what the difference is? The difference is in expectations. You expected that almost if you're a Sox fan, right?
Sure.
You expected the extraordinary every time that Chris Sale takes the mound. You expected him to be this guy right now. With Jake Arrieta, if you expected him to be 10-5 and 6-0 after losses and being the best pitcher on this team, arguably their MVP in the first half, I don't know that I believe you. I don't know that anyone expected him to be this good, did they?
No, they expected John Lester to be Jake Arrieta. If they had a wild card game, Jake Arrieta's starting it. If everybody's lined up and whatever, and everyone's rested, it's going to be Arrieta. He's far out surpassed what Lester's done this year. I mean, that's not even
close.
What a
trade.
What a trade.
What a trade.
It's the best trade that Theo's probably ever made, and that includes the Reds.
Okay, Cappy, I think that you might want to slow down there a little bit.
Okay,
I'd have
fine.
To go back and look at all the trades. I think it's probably the best trade he's made since the whole
– It's certainly with the Cubs.
Flip for prospects type thing. I mean, this was a – they got rid of Scott Feldman, right?
They got rid of Scott Feldman. They got Strope.
Yeah.
They got and Arrieta. Strope's been great, minus the moment with the Cardinals. But
Bob Costas says he's been terrific.
They ended up flipping a guy who they signed for nothing. Granted, he got a big contract afterwards, but Scott Feldman for now your number one starter, and there was, I forget who was the other throwing in that deal, but it wasn't anyone major. And this is, I mean, he's your clear-cut number one. That's an unbelievable job.
Before we go to the phones, yes or no answer. Are you worried about John Lester as the Cubs reach the All-Star break?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm a worrier. That's what that's where I live.
I've been worry-free today, as I told you. I still look at John Lester's start on Saturday, and he was dominant at times. Retired how many in a row? He looked like the guy that you paid for. And yet, the way that he started that game and the way that he responded to Chris Bryant's error make me wonder about his just – there's something
he's not having any fun.
Not there. He doesn't look at. He's look like he's pressing again.
Yeah.
He's so tightly wound about I have to succeed. I have to justify this contract. I have to do well. I have to carry this roster. I have to carry this team. I have all the weight of history on my shoulders, and you can tell he's pitching that way.
It would help if they got him some runs.
Well, yeah, that too.
Maybe he would settle down. But even then, I mean, he's just been so up and down. And overall, he hasn't been terrible. Let's be clear. But. No,
he has not been terrible.
He hasn't been terrible.
But boy, what bad luck he's encountered to not have a victory since May 16th.
He had one comment, too, the other day that was, well, you know, I did this, but that's what happens when you – he kind of took a shot at his teammates. Just a little one. And it was frustration-based. I could pull that one up, but I was just surprised to hear because normally it's like, well, hey, if they don't make a play behind me, then I'll just get him another ground
815 points out. Carm, let's not forget that Theo got Rizzo in a trade.
Yeah, but, okay, that was Andrew Kashner, who for a while there was a number one starter for the Padres. Kashner's gotten hurt and has stepped back, but this one I think is bigger.
785, I'm not a Sox fan, but Sale has to pitch. He owes it to the fans. The Home Run Derby is going to be awesome this year. I like the new format.
I do like the new format. I will agree.
And thanks, Aaron and Valpo, for asking us to interact with the texters and reminding us how important that is. 312-235-2525. Let's go to the phones. Dave is in Aurora. Thanks for hanging on, Dave. Appreciate it. Welcome to Cap and Haw. Morning, Dave.
Hall.
What's up?
Hey, love your show. Great show in the morning. This is concerning yesterday, something that Jim DeShay said about Chris Bryant.
Okay.
He said, okay, now he's at 102 strikeouts at 59 RBIs. Now, DeShay said that he would take those numbers at the end of the year, you know, so we're talking about 200 strikeouts for 118 RBIs. And I was just wondering, what do you guys think about that? I would think that would be, like, you know, horrible numbers.
Dave, it's a good question.
And I'm going to hang up and let you guys.
Okay, appreciate the phone call. It's very Adam Dunn-like. It's a very much... a situation where you don't want him to strike out that much. He knows that. They knew that going in, though. And if he does drive in 120 runs and he strikes out 200 times, that's something you say, okay, great production. We need to reduce the strikeouts next year.
Well, and that was
you take that as a rookie, right?
Of course. And that was his history. I mean, as great as he was in the minors, he struck out a lot. I don't think that is ever going to change. Guy's got a huge uppercut in his swing. His father taught him to hit fly balls, get the ball up in the air. It's worked for him. Guy's in the All-Star game. He's in the Home Run Derby.
Off his father.
Yeah.
Mike Bryant's going to be pitching right to a Chris Bryant tonight at Cincinnati.
So, not a big fan of strikeouts. Let me be clear here. Love his dad, too. But I'm not going to. One thing I'm not worried about in my life is I'm worried about everything else with the Cubs and whatnot, and my sports worries. Chris Bryant striking out, not one of them.
Speaking of uppercuts, as Mike pointed out, we need to get to the Aaron Cromer situation later, but we'll wrap up with some of these baseball thoughts first.
What an upstanding individual.
Let's get to Kevin in Hammond. Good morning, Kevin. Welcome to Cap'n Haw. Hey, Kevin.
Hi, guys.
What's up?
Hi, guys. Hi, Dave. I got an opinion on the Starlin Castro trade.
Okay.
Or should be traded. I think he lacks mental toughness in the field. And then during the last week, he struck out with men in scoring positions on all bases loaded twice. I would like to see some starting pitching by trading him.
Because your starting pitching is so bad right now?
I think we need one more starter. I don't think our starting pitching is bad, but I think we need one more.
Okay, Kevin, that's a popular opinion. I understand it, and I appreciate your phone call. I would not trade Starlin Castro. I'm getting killed on the text line for having some sort of flawed logic and the devotion to Starlin Castro.
Wait, hold on.
It's just that you're in a position right now, even as bad of a first half as he's had, you're rolling. You're rolling if you're the Cubs. You're feeling very good about where you are. Why would you want to disrupt what's going on with a guy who has had some big hits? He's had some big hits. I didn't look, I know you got the OPS and the on-base percentage and your rankings and all these. You can make the argument statistically that he stinks.
I even left out the ground ball ratio, which is at an all-time high. The guy can't get the ball in the air. Okay.
Okay. God, I'm so glad you did.
Well,
because that stuff drives me crazy sometimes. How do you account for the big hits at times that he does have? I don't think that he's beyond – he's not untouchable, certainly. If you get the right deal, absolutely, deal him.
He probably is untouchable right now because they're not going to get anything for him.
I wouldn't want him to be that aggressive in trading him because I think he might come around. In August and September, you're going to be in a position where you need a veteran, big hit – and that veteran could be Starlin Castro. Who'd rather have that at the plate?
Go ahead.
Starlin Castro with the runners on second and third on September 5th with one out, needing to drive in a run in a 2-2 game in the eighth inning. Starlin Castro, Addison Russell. I'm just asking.
That's a fair question. Addison Russell's starting to come around.
I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you that.
Okay, I'm gonna answer this, and I'm gonna be yelled at. But I'm gonna tell you, I'd rather have Addison Russell up there. Give me Addison.
Then get out your little baseball decoder ring and all your little numbers and your statistical anomalies, and tell me why you would justify that, because it's unjustifiable what you just said.
It's gonna be a hard
one. It's not even close.
It's gonna be a hard one.
It's not even close.
He's 21 out of 23 offensively.
I just asked you 2-2. September 7th, eighth inning, runners on second and third. You need to make contact. You need to drive in a run so you can get the game to your closer. Who do you want to play, Starlin Castro or Addison Russell?
Jorge Soler. Can I get Jorge Soler?
No, you can't. No, you can't. It's either or. Or Javi Baez.
Can I get Javi Baez in there?
Javi Baez, Addison Russell, or Starlin Castro. Who do you want in the game at that point at the plate?
It's irritating.
Think about it.
It's irritating when Haw makes a point that's really hard to argue against.
Cap'n Haw brought to you by Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. They won the largest verdict for a brain injury in Illinois history, the largest verdict for a back injury in Illinois history, and the largest verdict for a neck injury in Illinois history. All they do is win. That's a triple crown of lawyering. Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates, these guys win. Okay, we'll get to the phones. Stick with baseball. We've got Mark Lazarus coming up at 10:55, talking a little more hockey. Got some Aaron Cromer stuff we got to get to, and we do want to talk about, of course, SUP. You know what SUP is? You know what SUP is?
We talked before the show, so I kind of know.
You're
but
cool
I,
now. You know what that's? Stand-up paddleboarding.
I need to learn some more about
Stay
the
away,
SUP.
Stay away, people. Okay.
SUP.
Cap and Haw, CSN Chicago, and WGNplus.com.
Russell and Waukegan, what's going on?
Now back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
I mean, we played well the last 2 weeks. We had a good run at it, you know, going into the break. You know, played well. It's where we pitched well. We, you know, played defense and, you know, scored some runs when we needed to. You know, today we just ran into a really good pitcher. I mean, you know, we didn't get much going offensively. We, you know, scraped one across there with Sanchez getting the double and Eek getting the men, but really he was outstanding today. Sometimes you go and you don't want the break to happen because you're playing well, but you know, it happens every year. So you have to be able to, you know, mentally stay with it. And you know, we have a doubleheader coming back into it, so we better be, you know, ready to go as we come back.
That is the stubbly-faced Robin Ventura yesterday after taking 2 out of 3 from the Cubs. They lost the finale, but the Sox still feel very good about themselves, winning 9 out of 12 heading into the All-Star break. Cap and Haw, Mark Carmen in for the Capman. David Haw here, back from vacation. See us in Chicago and WGNplus.com. 224. If I need a big veteran double play guy or double play ground ball late in the game, I'll call for Castro. He sucks. His offense... His off-the-field stuff is a ticking time bomb. Off-the-field stuff?
I believe he's talking about
concentration?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there have been a couple things off the field, but I like the 5-7-4. Hey, Carmen, Haw's hypothetical. I'm with you. Take Russell because he's less likely to ground in the double play and the inning scoring opportunity. Castro, a double play machine. David Haw.
Was that the person who also texted that said that all the texts were being ignored until you showed up? And you started reading the text line? Got all your buddies texting in and you're reading their texts. Is that what's happening?
I'm a pro text line guy.
I am too. I like the texts. We just get a ton of them. I can't keep up. I'm only one man. I can't keep up with all these texts.
You do, and you got a lot going on there. Driving the show, the whole deal. I need a big veteran double play ground ball late in the game. I'll call for Castro. He sucks.
I just read, Cap.
Oh, did you just read that one?
Sorry.
I thought
that's okay.
There's like 7 of those.
Yeah, that's all right. It's hard. You get your own little Chris Coughlin streak going here. How many days in a row have you been on the air now?
That's a good question.
I mean, you've got to be feeling a little fatigue,
Never ever.
I'm worried about you as much as you're worried about Chris Bryant's mental approach to your job.
Never ever. I think we're on day 10.
Doing a great job.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the fill-in. And you're feeling pretty fresh, feeling pretty good?
I feel outstanding.
Pay off the tees before we get back to a little baseball because we're going to talk to Mark Lazarus here in a little bit. Stand-up paddleboarding. You ever try it?
No. And I'm very impressed that you have. I would not have thought.
I don't know that I would be impressed. I don't know that you saw me in my performance enough to say that you would be impressed. But it's called SUP, as I was told. S-U-P, SUP.
What's the difference between just a stand-up paddleboard and a SUP?
I don't know. I think a stand-up paddleboard is just the abbreviation that makes it sound cool.
So you're standing on the board and you've got
standing on the board and my wife and my son are also standing on their own boards. They're much better at it than I am.
So the Haw family is we're all floating out of the Cayman Islands
floating in the Caribbean. And
that's so beautiful.
Kind of drifting away at times because the wind, it's a steady breeze, Carm. The sea was angry that day. The sea was angry, my friend.
Well, don't mess with it.
Okay, but my wife's drifting off about 100 yards away. My son is doing his own thing. But anyway, the whole idea of this is that my wife is a yoga instructor, as I've talked about. You can do yoga poses on these paddle boards. And that was the whole idea. We went paddle boarding every day in addition to other jet skiing and banana boating. And do you see a picture on Twitter of the banana boat with LeBron and Chris Paul? That was me, basically.
You guys went banana boating.
Thursday and Friday, yes. We were banana boating. It was fun.
Did you really enjoy the banana boat?
I feel like I enjoyed that a lot more than paddle boarding.
I feel like a banana boat is a ginormous waste of dough. You just sit
It was fun. It was fun. We were going fast. We had a good driver.
Okay.
We were on the back of a speedy boat.
Let's go banana boat, man.
So right. I'm watching my son and my wife do these different poses and stretches, and they're very good. And this paddleboard, and it's basically you're standing up on what I call a surfboard,
right?
With a oar so you can row, and you have to keep your balance. And they're doing it to the point where they're, you know, my son's doing push-ups on a paddleboard, and my wife's doing poses on a paddleboard.
Great for the core.
And so I'm feeling a little bit of peer pressure, a little family pressure.
They're dominating. You're just standing there.
I'm standing there looking like everybody's feeling like everybody's watching us on the beachfront saying, look at that fool and look at his family, show up that fool. So I have to try doing some semblance of a yoga pose.
That's unbelievable that you felt compelled to do. So you, what pose did you decide?
Well, I tried to do the warrior. You know,
you went warrior one?
Warrior one. You know that. Yeah. So I tried doing that on the paddleboard.
That's
okay.
Fantastic.
Down goes Frazier. I was down. I just went down. You fall off.
So what, you slid into a warrior and then straight down to the, you cracked the board?
No. When I hurt my ribs is when I tried to get back on the board. For about the seventh time. I fell like six times trying to do this. I mean, I was on and off. I was up and I was down. You have the paddleboard for like 30 minutes. And I was trying to get back on the board, regain my balance. When the board flipped, got me right in the ribs.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's a little bit of a, you're wincing. And you're like, did that really just happen? I'm down. How bad am I hit?
Did you try to play it off?
Well, you're surrounded by nobody, and my wife is 100 yards away. My son's probably 50 yards away, so they can't see how badly I'm in pain.
There was no cry out.
Nor do they care.
Dad, David, are you okay? Nothing?
Oh, God, no. No. They just think I'm complaining because I'm not a big water sport guy, as that proves. So I get back on there, and I'm not standing up. I decide I'm not going to. I'm done. I just rode back to shore.
There
goes
Dad.
Wincing along the way. And the guy, the hotshot beach guy who's, you know, giving us the paddleboard, you okay, mate? He's from Australia. Yeah, I'm fine. No problem. So anyway, that
847's texting and saying, I was on the beach. We were all laughing.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. 847, there's some people there from Chicago. Thank you very much. I'm going to be surprised.
Did you go right into an ice pack, lay down, beach
no,
side?
No, what I did was actually I went right into the pool to sit in a pool to see if that would eventually relax your body enough to where it wasn't actually hurting as much as you thought it was hurting. And then 4 days later, still hurting.
That's, yeah, those don't go away.
So don't make me laugh.
You're in a 7 to 10,
anyway,
perhaps 2 week stretch.
That here. Is SUP. That's the stand up paddle boarding.
End of the day here. Are you recommending a SUP for those who are?
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's fun. It's a good experience. You can say you did it. Jet ski much better, but stand-up paddleboarding, I suppose.
I saw the jet skis flying around Lake Michigan yesterday.
Oh, everywhere. That's fun. That's good stuff. All right, so we'll get back to hockey. We're going to talk to Mark Lazarus from the Sun-Times. Shift gears. Talk about the Patrick Sharp trade. The Hawks had their prospects in over the weekend. A lot of names that you have seen. I think a Marco Dano was in town talking about how much he loved to be part of this organization. The guy who was part of the Brandon Saad trade coming over from Columbus. We'll talk to Mark Lazarus about that and other things with the convention coming up on Friday. Mark Carman is in for Dave Kaplan, who's off all week. I'm David Haugh on Kaplan Haugh. Back after this on CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com.